Jonathan, you were mentioning the question of a friend when he visited one time, and I checked what exactly that question was because he repeated it. And he said, my question to Ajahn Suchin about smelling consciousness was, even if we don't think we're smelling anything, are smelling cheetahs taking place? So this is a little bit like Anne's question about masculinity or pasa, just because there is no awareness of smelling consciousness now, or just because there's no awareness of hearing now, or of masculinity, femininity now, does it mean that it isn't taking place? So his suggestion was that even though it might seem that it's visible object that is apparent now, actually there must be smelling consciousness many times while we're having the discussion unknown. And he said that Ajahn's answer at the time was, can you smell anything?
No.
No. Because I think the what you meant was, if nothing is smelt now, if there's no smell experience now, it's just speculation about what might be arising.
I think that after hearing, there is doubt, right? Always doubt. And it's not known as a reality yet. So whatever appears should be known, not thinking about that which does not appear at all.
Can you talk a bit about there is doubt, after hearing there is
like,
doubt?
Can you smell something now? Doubt?
I had to go.
Yeah.
No, yes, doubt.
Yeah. And doubt whether it's an eye or just the smelling consciousness or the odor. Or no doubt about realities at all.
Mm-hmm. I'd like to ask, so speaking about doubt, so like in this context, you asked about doubt and there's doubt about the characteristic of the reality, about whether there's smelling or not.
Any doubt?
But doubt in the sense of pichikicha chitasika.
You don't have to name it. Otherwise, there is the self who's trying so hard to know that which has gone completely.
Yeah, but what I
and what about that which appears now? See, this is the way Buddha taught us to try not to go away from this moment, turn away from this moment.
Actually, my question is the doubt, because we know that in theory, doubt is only doubt about the Dhamma.
Yeah, we'd like to name it whatever appears, whether it's doubt or what, right? But no understanding of the reality, which is not self, as just that which appears. No need to try to find out the word to fit that reality.
Okay.
Because that is just only thinking.
But when, for example, we are not with the people who discuss the Dhamma?
It does matter, because even hardness here, whether it's outside or inside, see, belong to me or not belong to me.
I think you're following up Ajahn's statement that when there's hearing, there's even when there's hearing, there's doubt, or something like that.
About so, hearing or
about
not?
Hearing.
Yeah.
That means, I think she means, if someone asks us, is there hearing now?
Mm-hmm.
We have to think about it for a minute. It may not be, if the question is about dhammas, then there may be doubt.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think she was meaning that outside of that context there's doubt.
Okay.
In daily life, like,
there's when there's wandering, so it's not doubt then. Because, when you mentioned about smelling at the Dhamma, is there smelling now? There might be doubt at that moment.
Yes.
Okay, but when I am at home, for example, my mom can say, "Do you smell something?" So at that moment, there's also this wondering, but this they're not the same.
Right.
Do we have to separate them? Doubt here and doubt in the kitchen or wherever, or no understanding of anything, and try to think out whether it is this or that, but actually not the moment of beginning to understand the characteristic as just a reality. It falls away before you can think much about it. Even doubt gone completely, and you try to find out. So the characteristic of doubt does not appear to the understanding to be keen enough to understanding it as just a reality. And the point is to know the word or to understand the characteristic which is not self. Always missing the moment of understanding because of the self is trying so hard to know the word or to know what is it doubt at that moment about what. See, only thinking all the time. What about it doesn't matter at all whether what is what? It's only dreaming or thinking about the story of realities. But what about the characteristic of just seeing right now as not me? By understanding this little by little, you can have more understanding about whatever comes. This is the way to answer or to understand reality which appears.
I think with seeing there's no problem for me, but with the doubt, because there's the separation when we read about the description of doubt.
Yeah.
It concerns only subject of the Dhamma.
Mm-hmm. It indicates clinging to doubt. Clinging, not letting go, doubt. Yeah.
Is it clinging to doubt or clinging to the name?
As my doubt. As me.
Yeah. Again, the self.
Otherwise, Panya cannot see the hindrance to understand that reality which appears. See? All adhammas, they're completely gone. It's still keep in the mind about it with ignorance and clinging. It does mean that shouldn't be learnt, but can that be exactly experienced as it is right then? Or the way to know, to understand, when Panya learns more about reality. What about just knowing that doubt is there? Only that? And it's gone.
Ajahn, what you just said about how frequently we try and think it out, is that an indication that doubt is reoccurring?
Mm-hmm.
Because there's that thinking trying to work it out.
And who is trying? Even clinging is there. When it's not, the panya not developed, it cannot understand that there is clinging, attachment that should be known. Without this, how can there be less clinging to wanting to know much more about doubt?
See? Normally we would say that clinging and doubt are not a problem unless they accompany, unless it's the clinging and doubt that accompany wrong view or wrong practice. So is this an area of...
Not at the same moment.
Right.
Like now, seeing and hearing. Buddha told us about how many jetasikas accompany this and that citta. But they arise and fall away in split seconds, alternately. So without the very sharp understanding and right awareness, it's impossible to tell about whether it arises with this or that. We can say that conceit does not arise with dosa, right? But without the understanding when it arises, what about that? Because there's also dosa in between, but they cannot arise together. But it's not just read, it's the moment when there's the understanding of dosa or mana, conceit, separate moment. And right understanding begins to see that it's exactly like what we have learned before.
So there has to be the learning before in order for understanding to develop.
And it does mean that at that moment we try to think it out, whether it arises with this or that.
I may have misheard yesterday, but I thought you said that it was in relation to being at the meditation center or being somewhere else, and you were talking about developing understanding, and I thought I heard you say that it was important to train Panya to know seeing as seeing. And why I'm asking this is that I was not sure about that word, that idea of training Panya.
Mm-hmm.
Who or what trains Panya?
Can we say that Panya trains?
Panya trains itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay.
Developing readability.
Okay. That's
no one can train it.
That's right.
That's a bit like the straightening one's views we were talking about yesterday too.
Mm-hmm. And I'd like to say one more thing on the meditation discussion yesterday and about being a good friend, because we all may have friends who follow different practices and different meditation techniques and think it's right, but if we are fortunate enough in this life to understand that the only practice is developing of understanding now, and there's no self to follow it, it should lead to being more understanding person, more having more metta, having more compassion, because we know it's such a difficult path and there's so little understanding around. So when we are with people who have different ideas,
if they're interested, we can point to the truth. But I think that instead of expecting them to change or expecting them to have understanding, there can be understanding, because we know whatever views arise, whatever dharmas arise, it's by conditions. So it was just one comment. Because we may live with people who have different ideas, and it may lead to some difficulties. So I think that if there's more understanding, there should be more consideration, more sympathy for others who maybe cannot quite appreciate the point we're making.
That's why also the Buddha felt that one of the biggest hindrances to understanding was wrong view. And instead of having dosa when we hear wrong view from other people, if there's awareness that dosa is arising, it may possibly lead to conditions for having metta instead to arise, say, for listening to a person, say, that has very wrong view about it, because it is one of the biggest obstacles for them to ever want to listen to the Dhamma or even understand the way conditions operate and so forth. They don't, you know, they don't buy into it, so to speak. So that's true. I think if there is more metta understanding, if there's more metta arising on our part, say our part, but anyway, if there's more metta arising for us, then there can be more better ways to deal with these people when they are, when they have wrong views.
I like it when Ajahn always reminds us, be the understanding person, and like we were saying yesterday, the more understanding, the more it sees what a difficult path there is, and who doesn't have wrong view and wrong practice, only the sotapanna.
So in fact, encountering people, others, whom we think have wrong view, can be a condition for us to reflect on how wrong our own view still is. Far from being good.
As she sometimes says, also minding one's own cheetahs.
Rather than trying to be the whole manager,
minding one's own.
We come here to understand the truth. That's why we should talk about anything that we have doubt about it, whether it's right or wrong. For example, if we just say, just follow the other words, meditation center, that's not enough. What is it? Otherwise, it seems like we don't want to know about it at all. But we'd like to have right understanding of whatever we are talking about. So if we're talking about meditation center, what is meditation? And what is meditation center? And what is the purpose of going to meditation center? Why not one's own house, as usual? What for? Something like that. So the purpose of coming here or discussing Dhamma anywhere is just for the sake of understanding. So do you understand what meditation center is? Is this center? Or what about that? What is meditation, first of all?
I don't know the other people think about the meditation center, but for me, I think that meditation is just a moment of sati.
Can it be now?
Not now, not yet.
Can it?
Yes, maybe.
It has to be now. Anywhere, at any time, too.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not right understanding of whatever appears in just a moment only. For example, seeing does not last at all. It's conditioned to arise to see, and then completely gone, instantly, no more. Is this the truth that one can develop until it appears as it is, because Buddha has enlightened this truth himself. And he told everyone to consider whether it's right or wrong. And there's seeing anytime, no expectation that here or there only will be conditioned for understanding seeing. So when you, what is the purpose of going to meditation center?
It depends on individual thought.
No, I mean you only.
For me, yes. It depends more on my understanding at each time. Before listening to Ajahn's teachings, I also want to learn about the kusala and akusala, and also I want to learn more about understanding more about myself and the truth.
As not you?
Yes.
Or as still me?
it depends on each time.
But the purpose, the point, or the goal of studying the teaching is to know the truth, right?
Yeah.
That seeing is not me.
Yeah.
Now, when we're talking about seeing at that moment, we don't think about other thing else, just seeing in order to know a little bit more. At any time when there is the reminder of seeing sees, otherwise there's no way to understanding it as not self. No matter here or there. So to me, I think that no need to go elsewhere. With otherwise, it is the expectation to gain understanding there, not here. And what do you do at the meditation center?
For me, I think I also listened the teachings, and I also thinking and consider about the teaching.
As what? Me?
Yes,
I am considering.
Just moment, the moment when there's some moment I for myself, and some moment I also just think about the teaching.
About seeing or about what?
It's not exactly like the way Ajahn teach here, but in some aspects it like the same.
For example,
they describe about what appear now. There's hearing, there's the sound, there's the seeing. Yes, some aspects.
Even you don't go there, you know.
Not exactly. Not exactly.
Is that the same like Ajahn's teaching?
I mean, not exactly.
Because I also heard about people teaching here in Thailand, you know, about meditation. They're speaking, sounds like very similar, you know, seeing, hearing, all that. But when you really, really go deeper, it's not the same.
I don't know what meditation you go, but just my experience about the meditation that I have joined.
So you find that there's no really difference between place where you're going and Ajahn?
No, I don't say it like that. I just appreciate Ajahn's teaching. Yes, that's why I'm here, and I continue to listen and consider. But if you ask me about what I have do in what did I do in the meditation center, I just tell about my experience.
I would say if they teach a practice, then it's a meditation center. And if no practice is taught, then normally it wouldn't be called a meditation center. That's the difference to my understanding of the general usage of the term.
But I'm curious about when, I mean, you were there before you heard Ajahn. But what was your impression after hearing Ajahn? Did you come to the conclusion that she was teaching the same thing as those people?
The most impressive thing that I heard Ajahn teaching is the understanding. I think it's very, very impressed me. What are you doing in meditation or in learning or do anything? What about the understanding?
So they were not talking about understanding.
No, I think it doesn't mean like that. So that's why I come here to learn more about the understanding and the condition for understanding to arise.
I think it's very difficult to speak to people who are really practicing meditation and going to practice meditation because they truly feel that they are at peace when they meditate. They need to be in a place where they're got a routine so they think they're doing the right thing. I went to a meditation many, many years ago and studied and got a certificate, as I've mentioned many times before. But it didn't, you know, it made you calm because, you know, you meditate and you get relaxed and you're all calm, but you have no clue. You know, anger arises, attachment arises constantly, and you have no clue. But you have to go and meditate so you think you have a clue.
And is there any meditation center in the teachings of the Buddha?
No.
No? So
they it's had forests.
Yes, but not meditation center at all.
They didn't need to because they
not
had
anything about meditation center.
So you mean they need the
this is a big space.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to say. Yeah, so you need the meditation center now.
Because no forest.
No forest.
And who will you follow? The Buddha's words or what? Yeah. But there's no meditation center in the Buddha's teaching.
You have some points you wanted to raise yesterday about the Buddha's words. You want to say some?
Sorry, I can't remember exactly. But yesterday after discussion here, so we came back and we had small discussion at the guest house. And I said that when we have a discussion with our friends, And when I said to my friends that what I've said is what I listened to the Ajahn and it's all about the Buddha teaching, and my friends just said that I also read sutta and what is his understanding is all Buddha teaching and it's different from what you said, so yeah. We have not any conclusion or just...
Did Buddha teach about seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting right now?
Yes, as my understanding is that, but as they understand is not...
So it's not different from the teachings at all?
Did they give an example of what they read in the suttas that is different? Can you give an example?
For example, some people said some people come to see Buddha asking about objects and then they go to the forest and then in Vietnamese it's translated is the go to the forest and meditate with that object.
chance? Can you be more precise?
I forgot this some subject for Jana. Object for Jana. The breath, for example.
Buddha taught anyone to do or to understand.
For the understanding now is that the Buddha teaching is about understanding. Sometimes the people taking it as a way for to practice.
I think for many people, when they read the suttas or the Visuddhimagga, for them it's about doing something. Many people, they...
Anatta or Atta, doing something.
You know, when you start asking them the questions, it's where they start to be irritated.
Yes, the teachings are about realities which are anatta. So doing this is atta or anatta. No understanding. So what can we get from him with it's not understanding? So what's the use?
They say it's only conventional to say that doing something.
Who is doing? Didn't Buddha say anything about that? Or just think about the word doing, knowing nothing about who is doing. And that is not the Buddhist teaching at all. It has to be known clearly who and what is doing. Each word means reality. Like doing what? Can the rupa do or who is doing? If it's just like others teaching, doing is exactly the same. But the teachings of Buddha is different from the others because not just doing, but understanding what is there. No self, no one. So what is there? Not me who is doing, so what? Each word brings about understanding realities right now. Even doing this or that, it's not anyone at all. All are realities. Okay. Satipatthana is pariyati or patipatti. So without pariyati, can there be condition for satipatthana to arise, to be patipatti?
It is very difficult for me to answer because I don't know exactly their arguments.
But even the word meditation center is not taught by Buddha at all.
Or the word meditation, in fact, and I think what Thay was describing is a translation problem, because if a translation uses the term meditation, then people read it and accept it at face value. But as far as I know, there's no equivalent Pali word. They use meditation to translate words that describe developing samatha or developing understanding, but it's the translator taking liberty with wording or just using his or her own understanding rather than translating by the meaning of the words.
And what is right just to do or understanding?
I totally agree with you.
Yes.
Because I think it's something that very hard to come across when people are not willing to explore. So at some point, I think really it depends on whether that person is really ready to find out the truth, or just to protect their view. So, you know, they will always give reasons, or when you talk about Paramattha Dhamma, to really show that there cannot be anyone who can do anything because everything arises by condition. Then they would say the Abhidhamma is not taught by the Buddha.
Okay, then
like that.
Is Dhamma was Dhamma taught was Dhamma taught by Buddha? What is taught by Buddha?
The Buddha taught about seeing, hearing.
Is that Dhamma?
Of course, it's Dhamma.
When whatever Dhamma is that Dhamma not Abhidhamma?
It's it because
so
it's difficult.
What's the difference?
Related to the question of like having, you know, like lost many friends. So I think sometimes it's not even that because we are not, because we can be very good term together. But sometimes when we talk with them and we try to push the arguments or the analysis to the very fine point, and at that time, I think sometimes the arguments or they feel challenged by that, and they feel hurt or something. So I think sometimes it's beyond us also that people accept that we try to not to convince, but just to discuss and to take the points, to examine them. So sometimes we just accept that it is.
So they don't want to understand.
Yeah.
Right.
So they go to different places, not to the teachings at all.
We're in the minority.
Yes.
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 But I think sometimes rather than talking about whether or not, you know, there is meditation or meditation retreat, or whether the Visuddhimagga talks about whether one should focus on breath, which all these topics which are very controversial, if one just comes back to now and this moment in simple language, and at this moment we think that I can lift the cup, but what is this I that can do anything, and what is really experience now? And because the teachings are all about understanding, actually they're just conditioned dharmas now, that's it. So it has to come back to this moment. And everyone appreciates that there is just this moment, everyone agrees that. But what is this moment? And really, what is this self that can do anything or can practice anything? What else is there other than seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking about them? How is this self experienced? Because if there's no beginning of understanding about what appears now, then there will always be ideas that one can do something, one can go to Thailand, one can go to a meditation retreat, one can have more quiet time, because it's not understanding that actually there are only dharmas that arise by conditions and fall away.
I totally agree with you that it's important to always come back to what is experienced now. But then, the argument again of the meditation camp is that it's only theory. So, okay, in order to really have direct understanding of this moment, then you have to practice. So, you know, it's like if there's no understanding that arises upon hearing what is explained, then I think it stops there.
So if it's only theory, but what about now? What is heard now?
Mm-hmm.
Can people and air conditioner really be heard? Or is it just sound that is heard at this moment? And thinking about sound,
mm-hmm.
is it
really I who can hear it, or is it just a moment of hearing and then falling away completely?
Yeah, I think that's now we try to do, like only we can just try to discuss what appears now, and then whether after that they agree or not, we just leave it as it is.
When you talk to these people, yeah. And you try to explain anatta, they say, oh, that's just theory. You know, they like to say, oh, that's just theory. I said, what do you mean by theory? And they say, oh, that's something out there that we discuss, but it's not real. I said, what is real then? And then you can get them to stop. I said, what is real? You know, and they getting to realize what, helping them to understand what are the realities. Getting to understand realities, you know.
That's why one can't just tell them what are realities and what is right. It has to be their own understanding, like when you were asking the question at the beginning of the session and Ajahn's pointing out doubt now, what about doubt, what about understanding doubt now? Then it begins, this begins to be the understanding of what doubt is, because otherwise one just reads about the theory in detail, but no understanding. So it has to come back to this moment, and it has to be their own understanding. That's why one just has to ask them, well, what is heard at this moment, seen now?
Yes, and sometimes even we don't want to hear about the present moment. We want to hear the answer to our question that we asked, and not the reminder about the present moment.
So the first time we invited Ajahn to Hanoi, so he had about 50 people the first day. And the next day they went to another place because there was a Tipitaka monk who was also leading meditation retreat at the same time. Yeah. And then after that, we try to see them and then discuss the Dharma. And everything was okay. But then when they started to talk about that with other monks and other people, and I don't know, they get different ideas, and then so in Saigon also there were some people, and some people understood, and most of them maybe said that it's too theoretical, and then some of them said that anyway we need to practice. It's everything Ajahn said is true, but we have to practice. So we all will try to get some Dharma friends that we have in the center to come to listen to Ajahn, and hopefully if there's one or two among them who can get the message, we would be very happy already.
Well, it happened by condition and accumulation. They didn't have accumulation to hear and understood, so that's the way it is.
But what do they mean by theory?
Too much theory.
No, what is it?
I think they mean there's no actual direct understanding.
Why not?
That
because
that
direct understanding what? If it's not taught, that you call it theory. But actually,
even in Thailand,
before there can be direct understanding, there must be the intellectual understanding from hearing, the object of direct understanding. It's not just direct understanding, but of what?
One time someone also mentioned the story of one of the monk, the one who cannot remember four verses.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. But what should be known right now? See, not the monk who this and that. But what about the teachings now about seeing? And what did Buddha say about seeing? Shouldn't we listen? And is that theory only? Without theory, can there be any further direct understanding?
I totally agree with
your
line of reasoning.
So we'd like to understand what they mean by theory. By theory, just theory, what does it mean? Without that, it's impossible at all to understand better, to be direct understanding.
sutta. Even in Thailand, it's the same thing. I heard people talk about you that the way you teach is only theory. There's no really practice.
So ask them what is meant by theory. What is theory?
Because I think they've been brainwashed for a long time that when you're practicing, you got to go and do something.
What is practice?
Actually, go and do something.
We'd like to understand what is practice and what is theory.
It's all the same answer. They just have to go and do something, like sitting and contemplate breath or whatever circle.
No understanding
like that. Yeah.
Of breath. So, what is breath? Why is the object?
Thing is, they never heard
of understanding.
Yeah. They never heard something like you, the way you.
So
teach
ask
before.
Them
yes.
about that, because Buddha taught in different ways. For those who listen to him to have the understanding of whatever appears right now.
Ajahn, is that on? This is maybe more a comment, but just in relation to explaining to others. I've been listening to you for many, many years in person, and on tapes and all. And whenever I hear you teach Dharma, it sounds right.
It sounds
right. But in all honesty, I don't know why.
Because it's not direct understanding yet.
Yes, so I could not confidently explain to the other why they should listen to you.
What about seeing right now? Can there be any understanding of it? Because it's here right now. It arises, otherwise there's no seeing. And seeing sees what? Can we talk more about it so that there can be the understanding of it, just seeing itself? Otherwise, no understanding of whatever appears in life at all.
Having listened to you for a long time, that sounds right. That
it's truth.
It's the truth.
But
to
so there's doubt.
To the well.
Well, there is.
There's I think to convey it to another is not easy.
Not easy. And if they are not interested at all, no word from me at all, even just one word.
Mm-hmm. So there'll always be a strong reaction to hearing about Dhammas and understanding the present moment, because it's so many people, because it contradicts the view that has been developed and is held strongly.
In short, because the clinging to self is so strong, so there's always the idea of someone doing something, whether it's taking an object and going to the forest or focusing on breath or being aware of the present moment or understanding motion now. The clinging to self is so strong that that's why it sounds just like theory, because it's not the direct understanding now of just sound that appears or just hearing now, which experiences
it. I think also what they consider theory is this idea that there has to be the so-called meditation in order to develop jhana, so that there's a reaching of what they call the fourth jhana before understanding can arise. Whereas there can be understanding right now, and they don't get that. They don't want to get it, because they've been, somebody used the word brainwashed a moment ago. There's this brainwashing that there can be no understanding arising before there is a reaching of so-called fourth jhana, wherever they get that from. And they're so enmeshed in the wrong view that they cannot, the more I realize about wrong view, it so stops people from hearing the right view.
and Betty, it is not just they that have the wrong view. It is wrong view is here as well. And it's probably important to remember that idea of how very slow understanding is to develop. The idea of wrong view being eroded little by little. So if we have any understanding of that at all, then perhaps that can make us more understanding about how hard it is for the other. You know, to just suddenly... Exactly. So little by little.
And we've been, in terms of
wrong view and wrong practice, we've been talking a little bit in the last couple of days about how we may have the idea that studying all the detail in the text or studying Pali is the theory, instead of understanding that theory is just seeing now at this moment, hearing now. So actually the more understanding there is of what right theory is at this moment, the easier it is to explain or help others. Otherwise, if they think it's all these details are meaningless, well, maybe it's not necessary for them to hear those details at this time. Maybe it's enough to just hear the sound that's heard now, thinking about sound, bringing it back to what can be directly known now.
Many of them say that it's theory because they compare to the experiences they can have when they are in retreats. So many have unusual experiences, and they take it to be some kind of achievement, maybe not high achievement, but they think at least they have something that is different from ordinary life. Whether when they listen about seeing, hearing, okay, it makes sense, but it's not unusual. So I think that is also one of the reasons.
Strong clinging to self and to having results and having a different kind of experience or personality, not and just understanding with detachment of what appears.
And also it comes from not having enough knowledge about what is the wholesome state and what is the real understanding. So a lot of people think that they have, for example, have reached the rising and falling away insight, something like that. Maybe.
May I? Please. So I would say my Thai Buddhist, my experience, so since I was young until now, 50 years, so I would say doubt, which means human instinct. So we talk, we came from different part of the world, right? So we talk about doubt, right way to practice. So what is it? So Ajahn would explain it to me the right way. So my experience is Buddha taught us about self, not self. What you see is not what you see. The word explanation is really hard to understand. Even for me, 50 years my experience for Buddhist, so many words I don't understand. That's why we come and talk about words. So meditation way or methods, we came from different part of practice. Everyone have doubt. Maybe I'm explaining the wrong way or right way, but maybe Ajahn would explain it.
Is doubt real? Is doubt real?
Doubt is real or not? For me, my opinion is doubt is real.
Okay. Is it you? Is it you or someone?
Not me.
Not me. So it's a reality. It's a reality.
Reality. Yes.
And that is the meaning of anatta.
Yes.
It cannot belong to anyone. It just arises and falls away. So how can there be someone or anyone? And that is meant the word Dhamma.
That's why the Buddha try to teach us that way.
Mm-hmm. No sound.
Maybe the main poison. Maybe the heart of it.
Of his teachings, all Adamas.
Sarah, you said something that Richard went and had discussion with you a couple of times. Is there any interesting subject that they were asking? Anything deep? Not anything more than.
You asking as a mother or as a friend?
No, just as a Dhamma friend.
I still would like to understand more about theory.
Theory, okay.
Is it useless or is it useful?
Theory.
Useless.
Hearing itself.
It's useful. I would think it's useful because without some theoretical intellectual understanding.
Without it, can there be any understanding about reality right now?
No.
Without it, can there be further developed understanding of seeing as it is?
No.
See, so it's very important.
It is. But I think people look for quick ways to do things, and people think, even though they may know something
at
about
that moment, is there any understanding of the words of the teacher?
No.
So it's their own words, their own practice, their own idea.
That's right, and I think it's very hard for people to change, and if there's no accumulations to listen. And
I don't mind about the others at all, because people have different accumulations. To those who would like to hear the truth, so we can have discussion about the truth. Otherwise, it's useless for them, because they don't want to understand. They just want to get something from doing this or that.
Mm-hmm. For example, if one reads about the monks focusing on breath and taking the object to the forest in the Visuddhimagga, if one reads all the detail but without any understanding of conditioned dharmas, actually it's not theory at all. So one can read the entire Visuddhimagga and not have heard any theory or studied any theory at all, because there's no understanding from the beginning. So that's why the theory has to come back to this moment. And you asked about what topics your daughter and your daughter's boyfriend and friends ask us when we're in Australia. And I remember one topic that they were asking us about last time was sanya, memory or perception, because conventionally we have an idea of memory or perception. And someone may read about sanya in the text and the translation of memory, but if one doesn't understand that it's just a conditioned dharma that arises at each moment, marking and remembering the object, there's always the idea of I can remember this or that. And why is there the idea of cup? Because at each moment of seeing, there is the marking, the remembering of the object, so that there comes to be the idea of cup. So this is one topic. So it helps to understand about different realities that are appearing or arising now, so that there's less clinging to the idea of self. And this is theory, not just reading the text.
That's helpful, because I think it draws attention to the distinction between conventional understanding of theory, which is in the book, and the way we're using theory, which is about realities.
Deep understanding.
Yes.
Which will lead to understanding of dharmas, which will lead to the direct understanding.
Mm-hmm. So when perhaps your friends are talking about this being too theoretical, I think they are talking about that at a conventional level, of the understanding of theoretical, not in the way that Ajahn is discussing theory.
And what is the benefit of understanding sanya as marking or remembering? It can condition moment of understanding, the moment of thinking. Without sanya, how can there be such thinking? So right understanding develops and develops until it understands even the conditions for reality at that very moment too. And at moment of seeing, it's different sanya from moment of marking and remembering what is seen. So it arises and falls with each moment, even right now, unknowingly. So when we talk about it, we can see conditions for any reality which arises. Otherwise, without this, it's impossible to have the idea of no self at moment of seeing or any moment.
And impossible not to have
the idea of doing something or following some method or practice or focusing on an object.
And the theory about that we are talking about, last week I have discussed this with my friends, and in the Eightfold Path, the Magni Ong Pad, the first one is the Sammatitti. The titti itself is Bali language, but in Sanskrit language is similar to the word tisthati or theory. So the Buddha emphasized that if you would like to become enlightened, you must have the first one is Sammatitti of the right view or the right theory of everything, which means that there's no self in everything that you understand the Dhamma. So it could interpret that way also. The theory is the right view.
Or according to Pali,
yeah.
Can we say pariyatti instead of theory?
Yes.
But I know Sarah tried to explain, and it somehow felt like using the word theory to replace intellectual understanding.
But it doesn't matter what we call it, because Tom mentioned the word theory, so we were just following on about, well, what is right theory, because they may have an idea of what is theory. So we're saying, okay, what is right theory? And it has to be pariyatti, it has to be the what is studied that is with understanding, leading to direct understanding.
Because people can repeat the Abhidhamma, but no understanding.
So
it's right theory in a way.
The point is that you have to hear about Dhammas. There has to be hearing about Dhammas before there can be understanding of Dhammas.
Yes.
So that's really just what the right message.
That's
and I don't know whether they try to use different word so that they will not deny the intellectual understanding. Because if we use the word intellectual understanding, everyone agrees. But when we use the word theory, what does it mean? What way will it bring us to theory? Theory is theory. But intellectual understanding is not theory in books or system or method at all. It's about a truth that can be object of understanding.
I think the point is that just as the Buddha actually used the language people were using, as we mentioned the other day, and then explaining it with understanding, the same thing, if someone's saying, oh, this is too theoretical, we can say, well, actually, the theory we're talking about is not the details in the book, it's not about studying all the Abhidhamma texts, it's about this moment, it's about seeing now, it's about hearing now. So we're just using the language they use but giving it a new meaning.
Can we ask them the difference between theory and intellectual understanding? Different? Or the same?
know, once they understand what Sarah is trying to say, then we can maybe make the distinction for them.
That just takes me back to yesterday, something that John said earlier. What is useful and necessary is some understanding, not direct understanding, but understanding even at a beginning level of what is now. And can we not call that pariyatti?
Yes.
So I think when we go back and forth between theoretical understanding and intellectual understanding, it's too tied to conventional language and understanding. And this is why the Pali works so well. We take it out of both those worlds of conventional understanding. And then you have to, of course, I know the problem arises because you have to define pariyatti. But at least once you get it clear or defined so that there's some community understanding of it, you can move on from there, and the distinction is easy.
But when there is no understanding, they keep on saying it's theory.
Sometimes,
for example, when we're in Australia and we have our discussions, and actually we go quite deeply, and usually for the whole discussion we don't use a single Pali term, and people there, especially Australians, they appreciate that. They listen to a lot more because we're using their language. And it was the same actually when Ajahn was in Vietnam, especially the first time in Hanoi. We would have long sessions with maybe one or two Pali terms used only. She wouldn't even mention pariyatti for a long time because people can be put off, like one or two friends said they just don't want to hear Pali terms. So she could talk a lot about dharmas, but without needing to use any Pali terms at all.
Well, I understand that. I do appreciate it. I know it can be off-putting, but from what I've heard here this afternoon, we flip-flopped a couple of times on intellectual and theoretical. And I think, you know, what we're talking about is some understanding at the beginning level of what we're talking about is now. And that can be, theoretical is what we're, I don't know, I can't remember what we're trying to call it now, which one of those it is. But there needs to be some common understanding of what it is we're actually talking about and then call it something. It's very difficult. I understand.
I think it's very helpful to learn more about thinking because we think so all the time in our daily life, have very little understanding of Paramatta Dhammas. And what you said about Sanya, to understand more about thinking is helpful. And I think we can't hear enough about thinking and about Sanya to understand it more.
About now. That seeing is not seeing. Thinking is not seeing.
To know the difference.
Mm-hmm. To understand that which can experience.
The stories are so long.
But now they're seeing, and that which is seen, see, is different from what we of thinking without seeing at all.
Yes.
Yeah. So there are different realities.
Yes.
The reality which can experience, and that which cannot experience, only that in a day. Just arise by conditions and falls away in split seconds. But what does it bring? Ignorance and attachment to that which is seen. Useless. What for? Just arise to be object of attachment and ignorance, that's all. And completely gone, nowhere. Never come back. And by understanding this, it can encourage the understanding of reality as not self, turning towards the reality which does not arise, much better than having something arise to be object of attachment and ignorance. Only that, from time to time in life, not only this life, many, many lives before, and the future lives too. So what's the use? no one can stop having attachment or ignorance, but from hearing again and again and again, no expectation that that's the conditions for turning towards the truth to understand whatever appears. Because even right now, reality arises and far away, in split seconds, without hearing more and more, it cannot eliminate the ignorance about seeing and visible object. But from hearing, it can condition moment of seeing what appears. Like the question Kun El just said days ago, do you know me? Yes, but you don't know visible object. Even that very, very short term, like visible object, it takes time to see that can it be object of understanding instead of attachment and ignorance when there is more understanding from hearing and considering.
Visible object is a very difficult subject because at once we seem to see people and things.
So one can see how much ignorance and attachment is there. And without the teachings, which develop little by little, because you see that what is in a moment of citta, no one can imagine how much ignorance and attachment and all other akusala dhamma, see, always unknown from moment to moment, until at this moment of seeing, about seeing as just a reality which arises to see, only that. And in Pali, it's used the word uppatti, by conditions. But after it has fallen away, lots of attachment to it, idea and thinking a lot in a day, from day to day of each reality which appears in life, it conditioned more and more ignorance and attachment. That's why the accumulation of attachment and ignorance keeps on going, while the understanding of reality from hearing also accumulate little by little until it's strong enough to condition moment of direct understanding, because it heard a lot about anattaness until it's almost full up with it. But it's not that yet, as long as it's not moment of understanding directly right now. And Panya can see that it's different from hearing or intellectual understanding, that this is dukkha. This is one reality. So seeing right now, this is dukkha. Hearing right now, this is dukkha. Very, very precise. And that is the meaning of sati sampajanya. Not only sati at level of dana and sila and samatha, because it can condition understanding little by little from hearing before that it's part of life, a moment of circle of birth and death. Without it, there's no circle of birth and death at all. So a reality keeps on arising and falling away by conditions, that's all. What is left? None. Nothing. At all. And this can be conditioned for understanding at moment of seeing that what is seen? Only that which appears. Until then, no words. But understanding is there. Like before, you know that this is a glass. No idea at all. Because it's like the newly born baby. It sees, but it does not know the sign of that which appears as something until it learns from seeing and seeing and thinking and memory keep on that object. So that as soon as it sees, no need to say that it's a glass, no need to say that it's table, no need to say that it's people or things. Because the accumulation of remembering the marks or the sign of that which appears. That's why in Tipitaka there is the word sankhara nimitta, the sign of sankhara, conditioned realities arising and falling away. you see that it's very difficult to have the understanding of that which appears as no one at all. But when time comes, little by little, gradually, it's like the baby who learned to understand correctly what is that which is seen. Until no need to think about it, it's the understanding instantly that only a reality which appears at moment of seeing. And it is only one kind of reality that can be seen. But it seems like we see all kinds, like smell and taste, but actually taste cannot be seen, smell cannot be seen, nothing can be seen except that reality or now that which is seen. Only that, only one reality. But the idea makes it something very permanent. It's hard, it's sweet, but actually it is seen. And the idea of something which is tasted before or experienced before, conditioned the marking and remembering of being and things, see? So the way to eliminate the idea of something is to understand just one characteristic at a time until nothing appears at that very moment, so that it can be very sharp and understanding of that very object which just arises and falls away. It doesn't mean that you should do anything at all. Just develop the understanding so that it can condition moment of understanding whatever appears.
You said until nothing appears. I did not understand that.
Okay. Now, seeing arises, it sees, and hearing arises, it hears. Is there any gap? Or simultaneously, together? See. So when just one reality appears, yes, one citta arises at a time, one object at a time, yes, nothing else, it's clearer, much clearer than now, because it seems like seeing and hearing arise together simultaneously. It cannot be clearly understood when they go or appear together like this. But when it appears just one characteristic, you cannot stop the understanding of that particular one as nothing at all, only one reality at a time. And that reality cannot be taken for I at all, because it's just that characteristic which is heard or which is sound or which is whatever it is, just that. No one there. And the question is whether it's dark or light at moment of experiencing sound or thought or thinking or smell or hardness. See, it has to be as it is, and right understanding only at that moment can see the truth of reality as it's been taught by the Buddha. And you call it intellectual understanding, but without it, no condition to lead to direct experience, reality right now. If there is no hearing, no considering about whatever appears, no more develop understanding.
Can you talk about hearing, sound, feeling, and other dhammas being dark? The only light is visible object. But when sound is understood, there's no idea of dark or light.
No idea, but it's dark, in darkness. I mean,
is that a necessary part of understanding?
Otherwise, how can you see the nama doesn't have shape, form, smell, taste at all? Even the citta, not the cetasika, citta nupassana satipatthana, it has to be the precise understanding of that reality, which is the faculty of experiencing. no cetasika appear together at all. Otherwise, it cannot be cittanupassana satipatthana. And someone asked about, what about the moment when citta is accompanied by lobha or dosa? It's there, like patsa arises with seeing, but it does not appear. Only one reality appears so that it can be the understanding of that one. Otherwise, we cannot say that it is the understanding of that particular one, only one, at a time. So we can understand what's meant by clear comprehension. It's panya. Reality like now, exactly the same, but panya develops on and on and on until reality can appear to that developed panya. Not that citta is full of kilesa and akusla and no understanding of anything, just try to see or experience the arising and falling away, which is impossible. That type of citta, full of ignorance and attachment and other kilesa, cannot experience reality as it is. Only it's washed away out of kilesa enough to just experience that.
Ajahn, if panya arises, does it not have this characteristic of lighten up?
You mean understanding up. Or what?
Panya.
But in what sense of lightening up? A different meaning of lightening up, not
like
light on something.
No, not normal light, but like clear.
Yes, because
clear
you
because
see,
standing, okay. Illuminating.
When,
can we say clearing up?
Yeah.
Clearing up.
When when panya is there, you know that it can understand even in darkness. Usually we think that we can see and know when there's light, like now, but it's not panya, which can understand even in darkness. And ignorance is so dark, even right now, that we think that we see many things in lightness, but actually no understanding. So it cannot be clear comprehension of that which appear.
A characteristic of a reality can be understood at the once at a moment, but actually I understood that for example hearing, there is nama experienced a rupa.
If we don't call it nama, can we say that at moment when sound appears, how can it appear without that which experiences it? For example, there are many sounds out there, no hearing, so the sound cannot appear. But whenever there's hearing, sound appear to hearing, not to seeing or other reality. So we can see the conditioned tattoo element, different ones like jaku vinyana tattoo. It's not sota vinyana tattoo. See, by way of tattoo, they're quite different by conditions and by characteristic. For example, jaku vinyana is a reality, only one reality that arises by conditions to see. That's all. No more. Just that. And thinking about it is not seeing. Even the citta, which follows it, like sampaticcanna, that which experiences the same object as the seeing sees, but the sampaticcanna, which follows the seeing, does not perform the function of seeing. See? Amazing. That this is the way Dhamma is. Why do we know, have to know this or understand this? Because some might say that is theoretical understanding or intellectual understanding. It conditions moment of becoming less and less attachment to whatever its object is there. Like now, they're seeing no elimination of the idea of self at all. Just hear and hear more about seeing right now, that it's real, it's conditioned, it sees as much as that one can understand right now. But the more there is hearing, the more considering, the more no attention to other object by conditions, it begins to understand that characteristic which sees as not I, little by little. It takes quite a long, long time. And one can realize by oneself how long it is. Not years or lives, more than that. But there can be moment of understanding, and one knows how and why there can be such understanding. If there's no hearing and considering and direct understanding little by little, it's impossible for that moment to be clear comprehension. So the object is exactly the same. Seeing is like now, hearing is like now. But panya, right understanding, which develops in between, which is different from asava, kamasava, ditasava, usually in a day, a lot, after seeing, hearing, and so on, there can be the panya which begins to understand reality. And that moment, no doubt about what is meant by sammasati or sati sampajanya, because without that, panya cannot understand that at all. Different world, quite different world. The dream world and the truth.
But it's not very understand well why the panya can understand that many realities that appear at the same moment.
Just one at a time. For example, when we are talking about seeing, until there's no attention to other reality, there's seeing, seeing sees, and the understanding from hearing can condition moment of studying, sila sikha, citta sikha, panya sikha, at moment of sati sampajanya only, not at moment of reading or thinking. And indriya, because you see that sati is there at moment of dana and sila and listening, but it's not as indriya, together with other reality, which are five indriya, sadda, sati, virya, samadhi, and panya, together, stronger, sharper than usual moment of just reading or learning. It develops to that degree or level of being able to know the moment of beginning to understand, seeing as what one has heard, exactly the same. So we can see that the process of panya, which develops of the understanding of seeing, is almost like the same moment of seeing itself. That is anupassana, because it is literally translated as follow the reality which has arisen. But when we think about falling, it seems like quite far away. Just try to follow closely. But it has to be almost like exactly the same moment, like seeing and hearing. See, they're quite apart. But when it's the panya which follows or didn't go away from seeing, it's there, closer and closer. So at moment of seeing, there is understanding by conditions. So one knows that it's not far apart like seeing and hearing.
Okay.
Ajahn, just one very quick question. One knows, Panya knows.
Right. Mm-hmm. No one but realities.
And just one very quick comment about the
darkness, because now it seems, for example, when we hear that sound is heard and it's still light, so actually one knows it's not a characteristic of sound that's known, because it seems to be light. So when we hear that only when there's visible object is it light, we know that when any other reality is experienced or known, it cannot be so. So if it seems light,
but that would be the same as when visible object is known, you know that it's not sound.
But when visible object is
known, it is light at that moment. But
it's not sound.
But it's not sound, no. But the point is that if it seems light at any other time, one can see that it's not the reality that is being experienced or known.
It's a quick remark.
You said that Panya can know even in darkness. This is what Sarah just said.
Yeah.
When it is sound, for example, it's dark, but Panya can know it.
Yeah. Usually the mind processes so dark. And the sensor and other is just like a flash dot. Only that. But you call it the sensor theoretically or intellectually, but it does not appear as short as that. But when it's right understanding of realities as they are in darkness, and so you can see Panya understands. Because sound in darkness, hearing hears in darkness. So how can it be like whisper object?
So when Panya understands
sound, it's dark at that moment, but we talk about Panya illuminating just in the sense of directly knowing that characteristic.
And that is the meaning of illuminating.
Yes.
I see.
Ignorance is as dark as Panya.
In the sense of light.
But ignorance doesn't do
clarity.
Yes,
that's the point. Now it seems light all the time
with the occasional little bit of dark experience, but when there's understanding, it's dark all the time with the occasional light.
I think what Ajahn's pointing to also is the number of mind-door moments relative to the number of sense door moments through the eye door.
Yes.